Hi, I'm Philip Shepherd. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this amazing once-in-a-lifetime conference, and especially to the Meditation and Breathwork channel, which I'm proud to be sponsoring because meditation and breathwork are essential to my teachings. I'm the founder of the Embodied Present Process, or TEP, which is based on my two books and is taught worldwide. And here's one thing I believe about meditation and breathwork. You limit your experience of both if you imagine that your mind is just the thoughts in your head. Your mind permeates your every cell. Every stirring of energy within your body is an expression of it. So, if you wish to calm your mind, the most direct route is to develop the skills that enable you to feel the body's energy and ground it in the spaciousness of the present. That's what my work is about. If that appeals to you, I hope you'll check out my two presentations, one on this channel and one on the main stage. You might also be interested in a special offer exclusive to the Embodiment Conference to listen to one of my embodied meditations for yourself for free. You can find a link to the special offer in the description of this presentation or on the show notes. And now, enjoy the presentation.
Again, welcome everyone to the Embodiment Conference 2020. I'd like to remind everyone that we are using Zoom webinar, so it may be a different format than you are used to using. So you will not be able to put on your mic or to turn on your video. It's such an honor to introduce Rinku Tolku Rinpoche. He is a Tibetan Buddhist master of the Kagyu Order. Since 1990, he has been traveling and teaching Buddhism and meditation at more than 50 universities, institutes, and Buddhist centers in Europe, USA, Canada, Australia, and Asia. He authored several books on Buddhism, as well as some children's books, both in Tibetan and English languages. And he is the founder of Bodhicharya, an international organization that coordinates the worldwide activities to preserve and transmit Buddhist teachings to promote intercultural dialogue and educational and social projects. Throughout the presentation, Rinku Tolku might be checking in from time to time. If you have any questions, you can click on the raise hand icon on the bottom of the screen. And you can ask questions during the session by typing your questions in the Q&A box. Check first to see if your question has already been asked and you can upvote it. And at the right moment, I will pass them on to Rinku Tolku to open up for questions. So now I pass over the mic to Rinku Tolku. Thank you so much. The mic is yours.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. And I would like to thank Embodiment Conference for inviting me to participate today. I would like to welcome everybody who is present here from, looks like from many different countries all over the world. And my topic is introduction to Buddhist meditation. I would like to say a few words on the topic, and then I would like to open for questions, we will discuss whatever. I don't exactly know the people, most of the people, participants here. I know some of them who I see on screen, but so I would try to, of course, begin from the beginning. So the Buddhist meditation. So maybe I say one or two words about Buddhist or Buddhism. As you may know this, Buddhism was founded, you can say, or taught by Buddha, Gautama Buddha, who was born about 2,644 years from now, before. And the main thing about Buddhism, it's regarded one of the major religions of the world, but many people also think that it's not really comes under the exact description of a religion also. It is usually called a non-theistic religion. The main thing about Buddhism or the teachings of the Buddha was that it is not, it's not about, it's not focused on, it's not talking about a God or a creator. It's talking about a subject, the subject of the whole teaching is about how to free ourselves, the people, the beings, from problems, from sufferings, and attain a lasting peace and happiness. So therefore, the focus of the whole teaching is not God or creator, but people. How do we free ourselves from problems and sufferings? And this Buddha kind of taught in a very short, you can say, if you like, four formula, what he called four noble truths, that we have to understand the problem and also the causes of these problems. And then we have to find or understand the solution and then follow the path or the methods on how to address the causes of the suffering. So therefore, we have to work on the path that will lead to the solution. So these two about the problem and two, the problem and its causes, solution and its causes. In these four formula, what is called as four noble truths, then he taught for more than 45 years. And at the moment, there are like more than 100 volumes of his teachings, which is called, you know, the Tripitaka. It's a very vast, it's not just one way, it's a very vast range of teachings, but all together, if you try to put all the teachings of the Buddha together, which basically explains these four noble truths, it comes to the four training, because basically the Buddha Dharma or Buddhism is about, you know, a training on ourselves to awaken our innate qualities. And through awakening our own innate qualities, we transform and find the lasting peace and happiness within ourselves. And through that, also, we can transform the society that we live in. So therefore, these three trainings are training in the conduct, how we behave with our body, with our speech, and with our mind. You can call it ethics if you like, but you know how we behave is very important. So there's lots of teachings on the training to how we behave with our body, speech, and mind, so that we try to do anything or lots of things or, you know, as much as possible to help each other, to benefit each other, but at least try not to harm each other. And based on this, the what we call Shila, or in the training on the conduct. Then there is the training on the wisdom, which is also one of the most important things. That is to try to understand, you know, things, how the things really are. The main understanding is that we have our own innate wisdom within us, which can be awakened. So therefore, you know, the understanding from the Buddhist point of view is that we don't need to, we don't need the help of anybody outside. We just have to bring out our innate wisdom, compassion, and all the, you know, natural qualities within us. So to learn, to awaken our wisdom through receiving teachings or studies, through reflection, and also through meditation. To increase and awaken our wisdom. That's the second training. And the third training is meditation. And of course, meditation is very important part of the training. But as I said, because I wanted to make clear, because sometimes people think that for the Buddhist or in the Buddhist tradition, it's only meditation that's emphasized, and it's not exactly like that. But meditation is very important part of it, and meditation also. When we talk about meditation, it also is not just, you know, of course you start with your breathing, with your, you know, calming yourself and bring more peace within yourself, but it is not just that. It is meditation means becoming acquainted with, becoming used to. So therefore, you know, you can meditate, say, like you can meditate on compassion also. You can meditate on wisdom also. You can meditate on almost anything. We need to bring meditation in everyday life in order to, you know, in order to transform ourselves, to work on our negativities, to bring out our positive qualities. So, you know, meditation is basically it starts with becoming aware, you know, becoming aware and being mindful. Now this mindful word, mindful, is a very important word in Buddhism, and also for meditation. Because when you say mindful, it means you try to be aware of what's going on at this moment. Because if you are not, then you are distracted. Mindful is the opposite of distraction. Distraction means your mind is somewhere that you don't know. You are not aware what you are doing, what's going on, what you are feeling, how you are reacting, what kind of emotions or reactions are happening, but you are not aware. How you are affecting other people, how you are actually reacting and doing things yourself, you are not fully aware. Then that is called distraction. So meditation is to try to change that by being mindful, being aware, and then at the same time, remember what to do. So to bring this mindfulness, to start with, then you need to learn, you need to start with, allowing your mind to be within your body. You can say something like that. Sometimes we talk about three steps. Bring your body on your seat. Bring your mind into your body. Bring ease to your mind. So bringing your body to the seat does not necessarily mean that you have to be always sitting when you meditate, but you try to make your body present your body. Bring the mind into your body means you become aware of your body. It means you feel that you are here. When you see, you feel you see. When you hear, you know you hear. Now, not yesterday, not tomorrow, not far away, but at this very moment. Now, mind, sometimes people have, in the modern world, have difficulties to understand what mind is. Because I think in the schools, people never talk about mind. So therefore, when you talk about mind, sometimes people don't understand what you are talking about. So mind is, I think what the sponsor was just saying in the beginning, mind is the consciousness that we have, the awareness. Like if I see, when we see, we'll see through our eyes. But when we see through our eyes, then we know that I'm seeing. That's the mind. Mind knows that I am seeing. I hear, and then I know that I am hearing. That's the mind. And in the same way, I feel, I experience, I see what I see is nice, I see what I see is not nice, all the feelings I have, emotions I have, thoughts I have, all the experiences I have, that is the mind. So actually, mind is a very important and very large part of ourselves. Actually, everything we experience is mind. There is no, we cannot do without mind. Everything is within our mind. Even when we say there is no mind, that's mind. Mind saying. So therefore the mind, if you are happy, that's mind. If you are unhappy, that's also mind. If I'm afraid, that's also mind. So the mind is very, very important. So now, why do we meditate? Because, you know, we need to learn to kind of learn to a little bit calm down, purify ourselves. How did Buddha first introduce meditation? Buddha and his monks were sitting on the bank of river Ganges. And then he told one of his monks to go and fetch some water from the river. So the monk went and brought a pot of water from the river. And Buddha says, is this water clean enough? Is it drinkable? He looked and he said, no, it is not drinkable. There's so much dust and so much, things there. It's not very clean. It's not drinkable. Then Buddha said, okay, then keep it there. Just don't move it, keep it there. So he kept it there. And then they started talking about lots of things and maybe, discuss different things. And after a few hours, then Buddha said, now look at this water in the pot. He said, he looked at it. And he said, now it is clean enough. It looks clean. So it is drinkable now. And then Buddha said, well, it was not drinkable before. And how it became drinkable now? Because we didn't do anything. They said, well, before it was, the water was flowing and then so many things were there in the river and so many things were put in the river. So, there were dust and there were sand and there were all kind of things. But then we kept it still. So therefore, all the things that were, mixed up with the water has settled down. So that now the water has come, water has become its own nature. Now the water is free from other things in the water, and it's its own true nature of the real water has come out, and so this is good to drink. And Buddha said, that's exactly how you meditate. He said, our mind is very, is doing lots of things, lots of activities, lots of things happen. So therefore, it's very disturbed. And so therefore, it has lots of things, it is not very clean. It's lots of, it's polluted. But if we allow our mind to settle down, then all different kind of pollutions and things that disturb the mind naturally be separated from our true nature of the mind, which is actually calm, clear, pure, peaceful, joyful, and kind. So therefore, the natural state of our mind, natural qualities of our mind will come out. So therefore, this is how do we meditate. So therefore, he introduced starting from, sitting kind of calmly, relaxedly, quietly, in a good posture. And then, not make any force, but really completely at ease, just being aware what's going on, and not, you know, following our thoughts, not also, you know, trying to change things too much, you know, just being. Sometimes a little bit of focus, very slight focus on something like our breathing, because that's something that we do all the time. We have to do this, no other way. We have to breathe in, breathe out, and just be aware that we are breathing in, breathing out. But that's not, you know, it's not only that. That's just one method. There are hundreds of different methods. And when we are aware of just going on, what is going on, and not making too much reactions, but just being aware and clear and relaxed, then naturally we become more and more calm, peaceful, clear, joyful, and also kind. You know, it is not possible that we don't feel kindness when we feel calm and peaceful. It is not possible not to feel joyful when our mind becomes natural and calm. So therefore, you know, and also many other qualities will come out slowly. So therefore, you know, to understand that, you know, usually we think that our happiness depends on something that we have or something we don't have. That's why we are always kind of running after something or running away from something all the time. Of course, we need to do certain things, and you know, some things are important, but if you look deeply, you know, how we are, what state of mind we have, how peaceful or joyful or secure or, you know, or confident or happy we are, is not based on what we have or what we don't have or how much we have achieved or not achieved. It is something that has to come from within us. So therefore, when we deeply understand this and we train on this, that's meditation. And we allow our mind to and body to relax and just, you know, just be. If thoughts are there, it's okay. If thoughts are not there, it's okay. Just, you know, and relax in it. And when we allow anything that is, you know, whether they are thoughts, emotions, sensations, perceptions, you know, whatever there, we allow to come and we allow to go, because it's always coming and going. When we do that, then we come to realize that, you know, these things, whether it's the thoughts, whether it's emotions, whether it's sensations, whether it's, you know, they don't necessarily have to disturb us. They can come, they can go, you know. Our mind can be like the space, and in the space, then can be clouds, there can be rain, there can be, you know, bright sunshine, there can be all different kind of things, but that doesn't need to disturb the space. It can be like that. So when we understand a little bit, then we learn to be okay. We learn to be in peace. We learn to be, you know, okay, even whatever is going on around us. So when we try to bring that in our daily life, and you know, whether we are busy with our body and speech or not, whether you're walking, whether working, whether you're doing whatever or not doing anything, you know, whatever is going on around us, if we can maintain a little bit of this mindfulness, we know what's going on, we know what we have to do, but we also know that, you know, whatever we are doing, it is not necessary that we have to be totally disturbed and, you know, totally, what can you say, taken over by what is happening. When this understanding happens, we can find that how I feel is very much within my control. You know, I have the actual control of what I feel and how I, you know, how I am. Not about what is happening or what others are doing or seeing or, you know, the circumstances. So when we understand this and we can feel that and we can experience that, then, you know, we can be anytime we can bring that kind of joy, that kind of peace, that kind of tranquility within us. And when we have that little bit of that experience and that confidence, then we have a tool to deal with any situation. So therefore, you know, and this can then, there are lots of different levels of meditation, and we can, you know, go deeper and deeper. And from Buddhist point of view, we can go until you become a fully awakened, what we call a Buddha. That, you know, your, this is the understanding from Buddhist point of view that each and every one of us, it doesn't matter who we are, you know, where we come from, which caste or creed or color or gender or whatever, anybody can become a Buddha, can become enlightened, can develop the limitless innate qualities that is within all of us. So therefore, everybody can become enlightened. And sometimes in Buddhism, we call it Buddha nature, that everybody has Buddha nature, they say. So therefore, you know, that's the ultimate goal. So once we, the more we can develop this, the more we can be, you know, we can be compassionate, kinder, wiser, more under our control. And so therefore, we can also, you know, we can treat others as we treat ourselves. So therefore, you know, if more and more people understand this and have some experience of this, then there is no need, there is no use of any, you know, any conflicts, any wars, and all this, you know, this negative things that's happening in the world are happening because of hatred, because of greed, because of too much, want or, greed or jealousy or, misunderstanding. And these things are actually, people act and react in these ways because they think that's good for me, but actually it's not good for me. It doesn't help me and it doesn't help others. So when somebody tries to understand this more clearly, then, you find that there is absolutely no need of this. So that, brings a total transformation in ourselves, and also that can bring total transformation to the society, to the world. So this is the, the main understanding of why we do meditation and how to do meditation. It is very simple, actually. It's not something very hard. It's not something, there is nothing like you have to do this or you have to accomplish this. You have to do so many hours each day or so. It's all about, whatever, we can. From Buddhist point of view, the Buddha himself, as well as all his followers, there's nothing like, it's like, it's not like a king or a judge to order, you have to do this, you can do this, you cannot do this. It's not like that. It's like a doctor, if you do this, it's like trying to find what are the causes, what are the problems, like the diagnosis, and then recommend medicines. So, the more we can do, we can act, we can, according to the advice of the doctor, the more it will benefit us. If we can do a little bit, it will benefit us that much. But it is not yet. But doctor cannot put us into jail, or he cannot punish us because we didn't take medicines, or we didn't do as according to what he recommended. And this is exactly the same way how we follow the path and how we work on ourselves. It's not something that, you have to do this, you cannot do this, there's nothing like that. It's about teaching. Buddha is seen as a teacher, a perfect teacher who has experienced himself and who has got the, all the understanding and experience. And then, he keeps us teaching, or like a doctor, so this is the way it is understood. So I think if any questions, I will be very happy if there are any questions or.
Yes, we have one question.
Okay.
I'm reading it from the Q&A box.
Okay.
If we were able to experience calm and peace in our waking moments, sometimes disturbing thoughts and anxiety come out in our unconscious moments. In our dreams, for example, how can we deal with this?
Now this is, it is not, there are different, like levels of consciousness, we have. So at the moment, we have lots of what we call defilements. Yeah, we have lots of negative habitual tendencies. And so first we need to work on our conscious level. There's no other way. We have to work in the conscious level first. So if we can do a little bit in our conscious level, then, it will help us at the conscious level. But as soon as we become a little bit absent-minded or, you know, not mindful, we go back to our habitual way. So when we train this, and then we can become slowly more and more aware in our conscious mind. So when our training becomes stronger, then it could slowly go to our deeper level, like, because dream is a little bit deeper level of our consciousness. So that's why it's much more, you know, our habitual tendencies are much more stronger there than our conscious mind. So actually, sometimes we say the dream is a good test for us. So if, say, like if we are meditating or if we are practicing and training in something, and then if we can do the same in the dream, that means our training has become quite good because it has gone down to a dream level. So the dream level can be some kind of a test for us, because, you know, it shows that when we can do it in the dream level, that means we are much more, you know, trained in that. So this is the idea. So it is not easy to bring to that level right from the beginning, but, you know, that's how we train.
Great, thank you. We also have a couple requests.
Okay.
And to guide us in a short meditation.
Okay. So first, usually we sit you know, you can see, probably you can see the painting of Buddha behind me, although it's not very clear, but usually, you know, you see the Buddha image everywhere. That's actually the posture of meditation. You know, Buddha image is usually to show the right posture of meditation, because, you know, if you're sitting a little bit longer, it's very good to sit in the right posture. You know, say like, you know, your head not like too much like this, or not too much like this, or like this, or, you know, but a little bit, you know, the ear comes, you know, directly under the shoulder, you know, a little bit like this, and then the back straight, and you know, the torso not bent here or there or like too much. So, you know, we talk about seven postures, but I think we don't need to go through all this, but basically a little bit straight, you know, but relaxed, you know, relaxed. And this is the first thing. And the second thing is, then, you know, we sit. It's not always, you know, usually Buddha is sitting in a cross leg, what we call is Padmasana or Vajrasana or things like that, which has its own positive quality, but, you know, doesn't matter if you can't sit like that. And then, you know, the main thing is, say, maybe we start with the first thing, that is like, you know, just sit clearly. And then when you breathe out, we are aware that we are breathing out. When we slowly breathe in, we are aware that we are breathing in. And then just like that. And sometimes, you know, in the really, really beginning, I say it's a beginning, but actually sometimes for me, it is very good. You know, I don't say I'm very advanced in meditation. I'm not advanced in meditation at all. So therefore, you know, although I've been doing all my life, you know, for some of you who know, lots of people here maybe know me, some don't know me. I became a monk when I was 1 year old. But, you know, so, you know, when I, you know, just to breathe, you can breathe in slowly. You can breathe out. Count as one. Then again, breathe in slowly. Breathe out. Count as two. So if you can count, say, up to 21, or even 7, do nothing. No concentration on anything, not trying to, you know, not control anything. Just breathe in, breathe out, count as one. Breathe in, breathe out, count as two. Breathe in, breathe out, count as three. Breathe. So if we can, this just, we did 7 times. But if you do, we can start with 7, but you know, if you do 21 times, it will already make our mind much more calmer. Because, you know, we are aware of our breathing, and we are just a little bit aware because we are counting. And if we are counting, we cannot be distracted. So because of that, you know, we have stopped making our, you know, thinking about and doing lots of things and, you know, in our mind. So therefore, we bring peace. So this is, you know, the most simple, most starting, but sometimes most effective way of starting to meditate. Any questions?
Great, that was very nice. We have a question. Can you please explain more on Buddha nature?
Well, this is something not everybody in all the Buddhists, you know, the Buddha taught, you know, maybe I should not say like this, all the teachings of the Buddha were later categorized into 3 groups, you can say. What people call Dharma chakras, you know, the wheels of turning, the wheels of Dharma, they call it. First turning, second turning, third turning. And the first wheel of Dharma, or first turning, he talked about these 4 noble truths and, you know, and this kind of meditation and, you know, how to become a monk and, you know, how to work on that and all these things. It's lots of teachings, but you know, basically on this, how to be more disciplined, how to meditate, you know, how to train in these 3 things. In the second round of teachings, he talked about bodhicitta, how to become a bodhisattva. Because you know, Buddha was always referred to as a bodhisattva before he became a Buddha. But in the first round of teachings, he did not explain very clearly or very elaborately how to become a bodhisattva and how to actually, what exactly bodhisattva means. So the second round of teachings, he talked about this. Bodhisattva is somebody who, you know, who it's very much on compassion, who says that, you know, I would like to bring all the sentient beings to the perfect Buddhahood. I want to bring end to all the sufferings of all the people and bring them to the highest and, you know, the most ultimate happiness and joy. And towards that end, I would like to work however long or however hard it takes. With that intention, with that dedication, if somebody starts to practice, then he or she is a bodhisattva. So the second round of teaching explains this, and then, you know, the nature of things, the wisdom, like interdependence and emptiness and all these things, you know, how to go deeper into the, you know, the wisdom, how to see things clearly. And the third round of teachings is mainly about Buddha nature. That is that, you know, that Buddhahood, or, you know, what we, is not something out there. It is something within us, within each and every one of us. And that we can actually awaken within ourselves. And everybody has the ability and capacity to do that. And how to do that? This is the third round of teaching. So this, it's not something there is something there, you know, special in called Buddha nature. You know, do you have Buddha nature or not? You know, it's not like that. It's like, it just said that each and every one of us can awaken all our positive qualities. And that capacity or that ability is within us all. You know, a Buddha is not a special kind of person, extraordinary, or something, you know, that was blessed by Buddha, by the God, or, you know, it's not like that. Buddha Shakyamuni is like any other person, you know. But he developed that, he awakened his qualities, and that's why he became a Buddha. And there has been countless Buddhas before, and there can be countless Buddhas in the future. So each one of us can become a Buddha. So that's Buddha nature, you know. So it's not to say that we are perfect right now, you know. It's not that everybody is perfect and everybody is good. No, no, it's not like that. But, you know, we can change. We can, if we change, even the worst of us, if we train, it might take longer time, but we will be able to become a perfect person. We can become, you know, wise, we can become kind, we can become compassionate, we can become good. Everybody has that potential. So that's the Buddha nature.
Thank you for that explanation.
Thank you.
That was great. I think we have time for one more question.
Okay.
Would you say that there is a difference between being aware of breathing, for example, and thinking about breathing?
Yeah.
And the person asking the questions explains that it is difficult to just being aware of my breathing when I am meditating. I find myself thinking about it, and then my thoughts quickly drift to other things and I get distracted.
Could I ask for a 1 minute answer to this? Because we do need to wrap up the session.
Okay. Well, this is just like, you know, when we are aware of something, we are directly feeling it, you know? Say, like when I'm breathing in, I just feel the, you know, the breathing in. When I breathe out, I just feel, you know, the breathing out. When we're thinking about it, then it's like, you know, am I breathing rightly? Am I breathing wrongly? What is, you know, is it too short? It is too long? It is too deep? It is too shallow? You know, that's thinking about it. So here, you know, it's just direct experience, not, you know, making commentaries. That's the whole point.
Thank you so much for a wonderful session, Ringo Tuku. I really love how you describe meditation as a means of getting acquainted with. I think that makes meditation seem much more accessible, and I really appreciate that description. Thank you so much. A few things to mention before we wrap up. You're all invited to the next session with Richie Bostock, Breathe In and Bliss Out. And everybody, please join the private Facebook group that's been created for this channel. The link is in the chat, but you can look for it also on Facebook, TEC, Meditation and Breathwork Channel. It's a great place to connect and share your learning and experiences as we journey together. And of course, the Embodiment Conference Library is available for purchase. If you're an embodiment geek like me, you may be tempted to force feed yourself all these yummy sessions in a short amount of time. But if you would like to digest all the sessions, all the goodness in your own time, again, the library is available for purchase and the link is in the chat. It is also a tremendous thank you to all of us and also a tremendous gift to the world. Your purchase allows these live sessions to be free and available to everybody else. So I have one more question for Ringu. What is your top embodiment tip? Top tip to stay embodied?
I don't know. Thank you very much for giving this nice opportunity and to meet everybody here. I would like to thank Yolanda, who has contacted me a long time before, and then all of you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ringu, and thank you to everyone for coming. I'm really sorry that we didn't get to ask all of your questions, but if you check out Ringu's website, you might be able to get in contact with him and ask some of those questions yourself. I'll put his website into the chat now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.